Hey everyone, welcome. This is We Watch Stuff number 77. I'm Jeremy, if you already heard me on Stunt Granny this week. Well, hi, I'm back again. As joining me as always on this show is Shahid. What's going on, man?
Nothing much. How's everyone doing on this early rainy day here in Texas and whatever the weather is and wherever you're listening at?
Yeah, it hasn't rained here in Charlotte since Hurricane Matthew remnants came through. So we're pretty dry around here. It doesn't do well for all the grass seed that I spent money on putting down, too. Even though I know I could just water the grass, but whatever. So.
And that was just what we call in the business first world problems.
Yep, it is. So, where do you want to start with this week? It's kind of, we got kind of one of those off-the-cuff shows, I think.
Yeah. I want to start with my latest movie experience because I went to see The Accountant on, Friday, matter of fact. So, because I wanted to see it, like, I remember seeing the previews for a while, and I was intrigued because it's kind of one of those, I don't want to say under the radar because it's Ben Affleck, but it's really like a under the radar, like Ben Affleck movie. Like, it wasn't Batman, and it wasn't like that gangster movie that has coming out. Yeah, I think in what, January or February, whenever that's coming out. So, just seeing, I think the best way to describe it would be if somebody took the character from Rain Man and he got trained by the League of Assassins.
Okay, so I'd read a little bit about this. He's an autistic guy, right?
Yes.
That does accounting for, like, underworld bad guys or something?
In addition to, like, regular people, yes.
Okay. Who the hell thought that one up?
It's based off a book.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Shows you my literary knowledge.
Yeah, apparently. But I remember reading that, and like, this is just like, who? What bully kid thought of this nonsense was the first thing I thought when I read the synopsis. But it's a surprisingly well-done movie. Like, extremely enjoyable. That'd be the word I use for the movie.
Well, can you really be surprised by a Ben Affleck movie being good now?
I mean, I wasn't surprised that it was good. I was surprised by how much I liked it, considering, like, the story. Because the story, let me put it this way. That's a movie that could have easily went off the rails. And it's, like, a lot of flashbacks showing how he became what he became. And, you know, the joke that Robert Downey Jr. made in Tropic Thunder about, you know, level, like, excuse my language, yeah, like, levels of playing retarded, like that. And you know how Hollywood actors sometimes are not delicate when it plays people with special needs, and it's hard to play a role where it's not flashy, but you have to get, like, you not get to be yourself, you have to present yourself in an alter way that's not you. And he did a very good job. Like, I could believe him being, like, he was autistic, but he wasn't kind of, like, you know, trying to find a way for it. Like, it seemed believable, and it wasn't insulting, if that makes sense. And that's credit given to that. And, of course, our guy John Bernthal was in it, so that's always a good thing. Who else? J.K. Simmons was in it. The girl that was – I'm sorry, Cynthia Day Robinson, who was – Arrow's version of Amanda Waller and from Spartacus, she was in it. Anna Kendrick and John Lithgow playing the main villain. So it had plenty of people who could act, and it had a story that allowed them to act.
It looked interesting, but it was funny because they don't really play up, like, how do they handle him being autistic in it? I know you were saying, like, you know, using the full retard example.
Okay.
But
so they show him, like, they start in the beginning with him and his brother and his dad. His dad's like a military colonel that's taking him to the school. And at first, you know, like, it's a school for the needy and we do this and that. And the dad basically brushes off because it's kind of like, this is just cocooning him for the real life. He needs to be out there. So he doesn't even take him to the school. And he's basically, like, kind of training him to adapt to the surroundings. So when he's a kid, they're showing him lashing out and everything. And his dad's, like, giving him tough love. And, like, each flashback, he learns something different, like him and his brother. Like, one part in Indonesia learning to fight. And he's giving this speech to the teacher saying, you know, I need to find out what, you know, how much my sons can give. Like, it's your job. Like, it's my job to find out their limits. It's your job to peel them to find those limits. So even after he's getting, even after the kid's getting beat up, it's like, get to it. And then you'll see him there. So basically, like, Ben Affleck, when he's an adult, he has a routine. Like, he wakes up. He has, like, one fork, one spoon, one plate, you know, sets it up in a routine manner. He eats the same thing. He wears the same type of clothes. Like, everything's a pattern. When he deals with people, he doesn't make small talk. Like, you know, like, he gets with people, but it's kind of like he has a sense of humor, but it's extremely dry.
Okay, yeah, so it sounds like he just handles it like a regular person then. So,
Like how somebody's making small talk about, oh, you know, everything about, we had a good thing this year, you know, about the forest, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, well, I don't really care about that. Like, he says stuff like people
want to say. Shit, that sounds like
say.
Me.
Yeah, he says stuff that people want to say but won't say. So maybe that says something about you. Like,
I was like, well, good for him. That sounds like a guy that doesn't want to muck around. So,
but it's funny because they set up, like, he's doing this accounting for this old family, and they're trying to find a way, like, tax their business, and it's kind of like they're trying to make small talk. He's brushing off. He basically says he doesn't care about the small talk. But then he kind of convinced them they can use their home as a tax write-off. He does it, like, in a sly way, and the way he does it is awesome because it's, like, so – it's funny seeing, like, he does a lot with, like, without saying anything, like, the visuals with his mouth and his face and everything, and basically encouraging these two old people to break the law to get a break. It's hilarious. Like, I saw in a crowd with, like, maybe 15, 20 people, and when it was supposed to be funny, people were, like, kind of laughing their ass off, but it wasn't, like, over-the-top humor. It was, like, real sly, let the things – you know, let the movie tell a story humor. But when it came to the violence, yeah, like, he still has his bat. He must have still had his Batman physique. Because that movie, when that movie was violent, it was extremely violent. But not like gratuitous violence. Like, you know, John Wick with less flair. I would, you know, if that makes sense as far as the action goes. Yeah. Like, you know, John Wick might get somebody like an arm bar and shoot him. It would just, you know, pop him in the neck. Shoot them twice without blinking. Like, everybody, like, if somebody was getting popped, they were getting popped. And it wasn't like no breathing hard or like I had to think about it. It was almost like a video, like he was a damn Terminator. Hmm. And John Berthal was awesome in it as well. So
I wonder if this was made around the same time or roughly how closely it was to Batman Superman.
So I'm thinking it was probably filmed like 2015, probably. I want to guess. I haven't looked. I'm guessing offhand. I think it was like around that time to come out like this year, because it was supposed to come out, and then it was that or something. I'm trying to remember if that movie was delayed because of some studio issues or that was some other movie. So, but no, it was a very it was a good movie, and the ending. I know some people didn't like the ending. It shocked me because it kind of like wrapped up a lot of things that you wouldn't even thought about. And then once it was done, it made sense. I won't spoil it for anybody who may see it. So, but, and it's one of those things where I saw that, and the first thing I thought is, if they made a sequel, I would go see the sequel.
I think, isn't he trying to turn into a franchise, though? I know we were talking about this off air earlier. Like, I thought. It's starting to come back to me. I thought that this was potentially going to be like one of a series if it did well enough.
And not it only- could, yeah. I mean, it's making money. It's not making a lot of money, but it's profitable. The reviews were kind of like all over the place. I guess it's like a divisive movie. Like, I've seen people who didn't like it. I've seen people who liked it a lot. I enjoyed the crap out of it. Like, it's a movie that told a story where if it's it never told any other stories, it'd be fine. But if it had, you did a sequel, you could easily do a sequel with it. Like, you know, this accountant that kills people.
Well, it's already made $63 million as of yesterday. The budget was $44 million. So, not too bad. I mean, I don't know how much they spent on marketing, because it's been all over. But for an R-rated movie, I mean, you know, that's not so bad during what's typically a downtime right now. Everyone's just waiting for what we'll talk about in a little bit. Just waiting for like the big winter movies to come out now, which I mean, Unless you got something more to say about it, I guess it's a good time to talk about Doctor Strange for a little bit, I guess.
No, I would just say I was choosing between going to see this movie and Jack Reacher, and I chose this one. And I think I made the right choice. Like, I don't know, I was curious to see the second Jack Reacher until the previews almost seemed like or the reviews were kind of like, ugh. And I was kind of like, maybe I'll just wait like I did with the first one. Because I saw the first one on Blu-ray. I'm like, I can just see the next one on Blu-ray too. So
yeah, I caught it on Netflix when it finally came out. And I get the feeling that, well, I didn't realize how bad the reviews were for it. I heard a lot of people just saying it was boring. Not boring. Most of the time you read it, it's always uninspired. Like, they just made a sequel. Instead of doing something different with it, they made a sequel. And I was unaware of how many Jack Reacher novels there were.
Yes, it's quite a few.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, he's trying to get his franchise going, but the first one didn't do all that great, but home video.
Yeah, the first one did, like, decent, and it did better than... It didn't do... It's funny, like, with Tom Cruise stuff, where it's kind of like... His movies do sneaky well, but if they don't do, like, knock your head off well, then people say it's a flop, which is kind of like if Matthew McConaughey movies made what Tom Cruise movies made, he'd be driving 50 Lincolns and enjoying himself.
He'd be jumping in total strangers' pools every day of the week then.
Yeah, and I think the biggest difference before we go back between these two was the directors, because the first one had McQuarrie, and he liked him so much he had him do The Last Mission Impossible. And that one did so well that he's doing the next Mission Impossible. This one had Edward Zwick, which I've never really been a fan of his directing style too much. It's kind of like too, like, looks pretty, but nothing gets done is the way I describe him. Like, because I remember The Last Samurai, I saw that. And that's one of those movies that looks enjoyable, but was just a boring good movie, if I want to, the best way to describe that. So
I'm looking up to see what of his stuff.
I'm sure he's probably done one movie that you've seen, because he's done quite a few things.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen Last Samurai. Is that Love and Other Drugs? Is that one with
Defiance, The Siege? Yeah. I've seen that one.
He's got a very strange filmography.
Blood Diamond. Yeah, Blood Diamond.
He did Glory. I didn't know that.
Did Courage Under Fire, which was another, like, good, boring movie. So
Legends of the Fall, Siege, and Last Samurai.
He's the king of good, boring movies.
Good Lord, Last Samurai was in 2003? That seemed like that was in, like, 1993. Good God.
That's still 13 years ago.
Yeah, I was actually talking about that with my mom the other day. The year 2000 is 16 years ago. You know, like, all the hype that got, you know, the Y2K, all this stuff. And then, you know, 2010 is 6 years ago. Going on 7 in 2 months. Like, I don't know. It's how time progresses on this planet. Yeah. But still.
Like, you know how I felt when I was old? When I realized Tom Brady was 39 years old. And I remember when he was a rookie.
I remember going to a game he played in at Michigan. Jesus.
39.
He's like, supposed to play too.
He's gonna probably be the damn MVP. So that Tom, it's like one day you wake up and you realize, you know, some movies that you remember as a teenager was 20 years ago, which makes you realize that you have not been a teenager for like 20 years.
Yeah, there's, was it 96? Yeah, well, I guess it'd be a year or two ago, but like they had like Nirvana's. Never mind. It's 20 years old this week. Wait, what? And then Soundgarden, Superunknown, I think this year is 20 years old. And I'm thinking, oh, stop.
Yeah.
Stop saying what, like, the albums that were, like, the big albums when I was young. Just use your own example. That hits you. And you just
That was me this week or last week. They were talking about Ghostface Killah first album came out 20 years ago. And I'm like, wow. I remember that album when it came out. I think I had just started my first year of college. Undergrad.
What was I watching earlier? They got rid of VH1 Classic. and they replaced it with MTV Classic. So they're playing videos from all over the place. I mean, there's Mr. Mr. Crisscross was on after that. And then out of the blue, Eminem's Without Me comes on. And I'm like, classic? What the hell? What is this doing in here? That song came out in 2002. That song's almost 15 years old. And I'm like, wait, Eminem's been around more than 15 years? Like that? And I just kind of sat down and just went, started working again. It's like, oh my God, stop thinking about this. Like sands through the hourglass. Is that how that show started? Yeah. These are the days of our lives. Yeah, that was it. Yeah, just... Oof. But... Anyways, so that's good. We're two old guys talking about stuff. Anyways, Doctor Strange tomorrow. I'm seeing ads, but I'm not seeing like the hype or build up. Like people going, oh, I can't wait to see this. Can't wait to see this.
Well, it's funny. I always joke with you. You looking at the wrong things because it's already been out. Made a lot of money overseas so far. It's supposed to make, they guess, around $70 million. This weekend here, which would be pretty good considering it's a relatively unknown character that's in coming out in November. So by all accounts, it seemed like it's going to be another Marvel success. But yeah, it's a weird movie to promote though.
Yeah, well, you sent me that link about how it's tracking better than Guardians of the Galaxy, Ant-Man, and something else. I can't remember what it was. And the Guardians of the Galaxy, that at that time, didn't that surprise everybody?
Yes, that surprised everybody.
So, yeah, and it's like, well, and I don't know, Ant-Man kind of came in at expectations, so you can't really say anything about that. But yeah, so, and I don't know, Doctor Strange, if it does in between those numbers, I guess it's not bad.
I mean, this, how would you, just think about the fact that some people you can describe Iron Man and Captain America kind of easily, but how would you describe someone like Doctor Strange? Okay, he was a surgeon. He gets in a car accident. He gets in an accident. He can't use his hands. He tries to find to fix his hands. He goes somewhere in Asia to learn magic. Stuff happens. Like once you get to the part where he has this car accident, he learns to fix his hand. It's basically like, you know, okay, he goes from. It's like if Iron Man was a wizard.
Yeah, yeah. And well, that's what I've heard, actually, is it's a modern Iron Man. You know, obviously with the differences, which I enjoyed the first Iron Man, so that's a positive. But at the same time, it's... I don't know. In this case, an origin story almost seems like it has to be a must.
I mean, it's... With some people, you can get... It's funny how people kind of... I guess it's the nature of the fact that we've been doing these comic movies for so long where people kind of frown their face up at origin movies. But it's not like we're talking about Spider-Man. Like, this isn't like this character that everyone knows. Like, we're not even talking about like a B or C. Like, this is kind of, I don't want to say scraping the barrel, but yeah, like, Doctor Strange has never been like this big time comic or this big time thing. So you have to do an origin story to kind of make sense because it's kind of like you couldn't like introduce him in like some Marvel movie and just, you know, yeah, like if you're going to do a movie with him, you have to introduce him and you got to kind of, it's not just introducing him, it's introducing magic because this is like a big thing with like Marvel because Marvel's been, I know it's funny, I won't say it, grounded for the most part in this stuff. Like they've tried, even like the Thor stuff is they just say, oh, this isn't magic. This is just science. You don't understand because you're too stupid to realize what's going on. But everything has a point to it. Shield has made a good job kind of introducing you're dealing with magic stuff because even the whole thing like Ghost Rider, it's like, is he inhuman? Like, nah, he made a deal with the devil. And everybody's laughing even though it's this guy walking around with his head on fire. It's like, okay, like I know you've been around the block, but you haven't seen anything like this. Like if you've seen inhuman stuff and you've seen robots and everything, is magic that hard to believe? Even though people can't wrap their head around, and that's the thing, it's kind of like even people who know better can't wrap their head around magic. So this is the whole first thing, is like we're introducing the weird shit that Marvel does.
And I think that maybe either the part that gets people interested, the magic part, like just straight up magic in this, or it could be a breaking point, like just kind of like, ah, no, we can't deal with this too. But then, you know, obviously the argument is, so you can accept some guy from another dimension that runs on a rainbow road, you know, but you can't accept the fact that there's a rainbow bridge. It's a rainbow bridge, yeah. Right? Sorry, not road. I got yellow brick road and rainbow mixed up, or mashed together, I guess. But that would be the argument. I don't know. It's, you know, honestly, the way you described it, though, was usually you do a very good job of selling movies. But if you would have been like, all right, here's the pitch meeting. Like, say Doctor Strange is just off the books, the new character they're creating for the movie. And they're like, here's the pitch. He's an arrogant doctor. He has a wreck that his hands get all messed up, so he can't be a doctor anymore. He plunges himself down, learns some magic, and then saves the world from other magical creatures. Oh, it's a Marvel movie, though. It's like, well, that sounds terrible. Like, that, what are you talking about?
No, you know how I describe it? I'm like, picture Iron Man and picture Inception and add them together and call it magic. If that sounds like something you want to see, go see Doctor Strange. Because that's basically like kind of the, like, because when you look at the trailers, it's like all the stuff with the folding cities and teleportation, that reminds me of Inception. And seeing it, it's like, it's weird because it's not like it's something we've seen. We've seen that before, but we haven't seen that from Marvel. Like, Marvel is great at building stuff, but stuff feels like you can relate to it. Even the Thor stuff, which can be weird. And it's funny you brought up the whole thing. Like, I laugh at the fact that the first Thor, they're riding on horses on this rainbow road, yet other people have spaceships. Like, what? Like, you can teleport. Why are you riding on a damn horse where you can teleport across galaxies? Like, I guess that's part of the whole, I guess that's what makes Thor Thor, like that whole dichotomy of it. And I was laughing thinking about that when you brought up the first one, because I do remember them riding on horses, and I was like, he can fly. Like, what's going on? So, but the whole thing with Doctor Strange is, I mean, you had Lord of the Rings, so people know about magic, even though that was a while ago. It looks like a psychedelic thing, and I know they kind of like try to find a way to relate to it. It's like Doctor Strange learns kung fu or martial arts, and magic's involved with that, and people like kung fu from the Matrix, and people like people that can fight. It seems like there's a lot of things that's going on that's making the coherent story. Like, Marvel is trying to find the best way to introduce something that's extremely abstract in a mainstream way. So.
Yeah, I know there's a line in the commercial, I can't remember who said it, but, you know, there are physical threats in the world, but we protect against the metaphysical, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And right there, I was like, okay, I'll buy that. That's pretty good. So, but I mean,
Benedict Wong's character did that. Like, the Avengers deal with the physical threats. We deal with like the metaphysical.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't know. I can't imagine anyone being like, all right, this is too much. It's like, okay, well then, wait till Thor. Was it? What's the next Thor? Ragnarok.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wait till that comes out. That sounds like that's gonna blow people's minds. After those last two Thor movies, and this one's gonna have the Hulk in it. It's going to have parts of Planet Hulk in it. That's going to be, I mean, that one may be the one that pushes people too far, but it'd still be funny. So.
You know what I think they're realizing? Like, if you're going to go be like what Guardians of the Galaxy did, if you're doing weird stuff, just go all the way and just embrace it. Like, don't half-ass it and don't make it super serious. Like, you can be serious when you're doing like Captain America stuff, because that's grounded and everything. But when you're dealing with spaceship and talking trees and talking raccoons and talking planets and people in floating chairs and all rock monsters and stuff, you might as well embrace how weird this is. Like, you know, Doctor Strange walking around with magic nunchucks and a whip and a cape that floats, and Mads Mikkelsen with, you know, Lego eyes and stuff. Like, just jump all in. Like, I'm here. Smoke, like, if you smoke marijuana, I don't, but if you smoke marijuana, smoke some, go see it in 3D and enjoy yourself for 2 hours.
It's funny you mentioned that, because as we were talking, I got an alert on my phone. We talked about this on a different show about NFL players and pot usage.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it, where'd it go? God damn it.
Think about Eugene Monroe?
No, there was something about how 70% of the players either know... I can't find it out. Of course, because I brought it up. But it was basically 70% of the players know of teammates that have used marijuana before games, and that almost 100% of the players prefer pot to pills.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, no shit. Like, it's one of those things where it's stating the obvious, but then someone actually had to do a poll. Like, someone thought, no, that can't be right. And actually went through to try and find that information out. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. But
it's not that it's the obvious, but people aren't used to saying it out loud.
Yeah.
It's one of those things, like, you know, ask the average American how many want to have a threesome. Like, people talk about that amongst their friends, but you don't hear about that in a damn poll. It's like, oh yeah, we found out 65% of people that live in the South, you know, like midget porn. Like, that's not something you're going to normally find in the Associated Press, but it's something like you talk about your friends, like, of course people like stuff like that. Like, of course people will want... Average people walk around and smoke marijuana all the time, and they're not playing football that shortens your lifespans. Like, is it that hard to believe? Like, you know, and considering the like, now you hear about the damage with, you know, narcotic medications and the big deal about people getting overdoses and stuff, like, that's... It's easy to say it's common sense, but as we both know, sense ain't common.
Yeah.
So that's why it is what it is.
Yeah, I just thought that was funny. Something else that just came up. I was talking about this last night on the Stunker Any audio, and I kept saying that I was making fun of how the cruiserweights on Raw are just, you got Kendrick and Perkins doing their thing, and then you got 6-man tag matches. And I'm like, it's never going to work the way it's going, that they should just have their own show on the network. Well, did you see what they just announced today?
Yeah, they're going to have their own show on the network. Yeah, that's going to film after, that's going to, you know, be done during the SmackDown tapings and be shown after SmackDown.
Yeah, and it's basically it's, well, oh yeah, it will be. What happens to Talking Smack then? They can't get
Talking
rid of
Smack
that.
Talking Smack will just come on after the crew. It'll just come on later. It'll come on after the crew. Oh,
man, see, then it won't be live, and that kind of sucks. Because they don't like something, they can just edit it. I think that's part of the appeal of Talking Smack.
Maybe they'll just, like, tape what happens and leave it alone.
Yeah, because like, we want to go home.
Yeah, like, you know, like, have it done after SmackDown goes off. Because, like, you know, it's still going to be probably, I mean, it can still be done after SmackDown goes off and this should be shown later. Like, it doesn't have to be live to us as long as it's live to them and they leave it alone.
Yeah, well, here's something funny here's something interesting to read in this. This is coming off the success of the Cruiserweight Classic, blah, blah, blah. It'll feature superstars that are under 205 pounds and under, including new champ The Brian Kendrick, TJ Perkins, Rich Swann, Noam Dar, Ho-Ho Loon, Cedric Alexander, Lindsay Dorado, Grand Metalik, Tozawa, Jack Gallagher, Gurv Shira? The Bollywood boys. Never mind. I'm not going back to try that one. And what's funny, though, there's no Tony Nese and no Drew Gulak mentioned.
Maybe they just forgot to mention them.
Well, I read somewhere else today that they dropped the trademark for the two names. WWE's not pursuing a trademark for their names.
Oh, then maybe that answered the reason why.
Oh, that's too
bad. And it's funny about, like, Gulak is whatever, but Tony Nese seemed like that's, like, right up Vince McMahon's, you know, window, because he's this big, thick, like, this big, thick old goblin that somehow, like, if he's 205, it's like 205.00, like 3% body fat, because that's thick looking cruiserweight bullying all these other crews. Like, it's funny seeing him bully all these other cruiserweights. They basically did what they should have did in the first place. Like, either give them their own show or have them on SmackDown. Because everybody knew this was going to happen on Raw. Like, everybody predicted it. Everybody said it. And I guess the whole thing is, like, we at least need to give them a chance. you know, for them to, we have to make them fail, and then we can say, okay. Instead of just knowing, like, you know, I guess it's the whole thing, like, yeah, I know if I drop a pot on my foot, it's going to hurt, but damn it, I got to do it anyway just to see how it feels. Well, yeah. Now you're limping around, so you know not to do it next time.
So my thing is, can they finally do this for the women, or are there just not enough of them? I've been yelling for years that they needed it. Well, since the – yeah, it's years now that the network's been around, that they should have a women's wrestling show already. But now that I say it, it's like Raw definitely needs it. SmackDown, it could use it, but it's not exactly – you know, they do a very – SmackDown, another point I talked about, SmackDown does a better job with women than Raw does.
Yeah. So, SmackDown does a better job with everybody they have than Raw does. Because I think one of it, it's funny where Raw is longer and stuff either gets too much time or not enough time, where it's rushed out. SmackDown gets everything the time it needs to have and lets stuff breathe. And I don't know. It's kind of, I'd rather them keep it the way it is and just add. The problem with Raw is top heavy with women. It's like you have those three. You basically got Bayley, Charlotte, and Sasha Banks, and Nia Jax in her own universe, and you don't care about anybody else. Like, nobody cares about Dana Brooke. You barely see Summer Rae.
I think it's actually been since springtime, almost right after WrestleMania, that Summer Rae's been on TV.
Yeah, like, I haven't seen, like, I can't, like, Alicia Fox showed up for, like, 3 weeks to deal with stuff with Nia Jax. Yeah. I guess Emma's going to come back to, you know, somebody finally figured out that Emma is extremely attractive, so let's market her that way instead of her being goofy. But it's, like, if it's not the stuff at the top, no one cares. SmackDown, they could have, like, three separate storylines with women if they want it, and it was fit because they give enough time to it. So, I don't know. It's kind of, you don't want to have too much wrestling. I know it's funny to say, like, you got a lot of, like,
just added another hour. So.
Yeah, like, we just added the whole Cruiserweight thing, and it's kind of like, you know, sooner or later, like, it's almost now, like, I'm glad some shows are wrapped up. And I know you're talking about, like, Shield going to be gone for a month. I'm like, good. I mean, I'm mad that it's gone, but it's kind of like, you know, you have, like 3 days a week, I have, like, four or five shows.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I have to catch up on. And, like, Sunday, I have another four shows where it's like I have to spend days catching up on shows, especially if I work the evening shift. So it is such a thing as too much of a good thing with that. But I'm glad they fixed the issue with the Cruiserweight thing. And it kind of proved the whole point people have been saying. It's like, you know, WWE would be a lot better once Triple H is just in charge and doesn't have to deal with Vince anymore. Like, I think he kind of plays some – he does enough stuff where it's like he plays along with Vince – but you can just tell when he's in charge of things, like the whole Cruiserweight thing, the Dusty Rhodes Classic, NXT in general, and, like, stuff that he does makes enough sense where it's like, you know, it's different. And it always throws you off, though, where Vince writes both Raw and SmackDown. He's in charge of both Raw and SmackDown, yet somehow, if somebody told me that he had nothing to do with SmackDown, I could believe it. A lot better than somebody saying, yeah, he's in control of SmackDown. I'm like, how? How's he does both, yet SmackDown looks and feels so much better than Raw does? It feels like two completely different shows.
Yeah. Not to rehash, but that was something I brought up yesterday, too, is it almost as if Vince is just like, whatever, I don't care. It's SmackDown. The ratings aren't as good as Raw's, and then someone has to tap him on the shoulder and be like, no, they're on par, Vince. But then it's like, I don't believe you, and just whatever, just do whatever. You got all the little people on the show. I'm going over here. So, yeah.
I got the feeling it's more hands-on. It's funny. Like, I think that sounds nice for people that feel like Vince is out of touch, and it makes sense if you see Raw. But you know how Vince is. It's like they said belt. You know we supposed to say championship. Like, he's hands-on. Like, he's neurotic and hands-on and sleeps, like, 3 or 4 hours a day, if at that. Like, I can't – and considering, especially with SmackDown being on USA 2 and it being a priority and his ratings being close to Raw, like, yeah, I think it kind of – as much as people criticize him for the mistakes he makes, as they should, I think it kind of does him a disservice when they don't want to give him credit for SmackDown. Like, if everyone's saying he writes for SmackDown, he controls SmackDown, then it's, I won't say, he just, people just saying that, and it's really Triple H. I'm like, no. If Vince is doing something, he's doing something. And if he's not, he's not. Like, we know that enough about him to know that.
Oh, yeah. Now, there was something else you said in there, but I forgot. Oh, well. Yeah, so that was just like a new news item that came up. I don't know, the Wonder Woman trailer. I don't know if, I think I forgot to tell you about this. There was a teaser trailer for the trailer that comes out tomorrow.
Yeah, I saw it what's their face's Instagram.
Yeah, so that is what it is. It didn't really give you anything. So the Wonder Woman trailer is officially attached to Doctor Strange, which I think is kind of weird. To say that it's officially attached it almost gives you the feeling that there's some sort of synergy involved, which I'm sure there's not. But by wording it like that, it certainly seems so. But it'll be cool to get a new Wonder Woman trailer. We haven't seen it since the Comic-Con Fest. Was that July? June?
I think it was. I don't remember. I don't remember anymore.
I was out somewhere
when I showed you the.
We had just gotten back from somewhere, one of the two.
So you were like out of town or about to come back.
Yeah, so it was that long ago.
Speaking of DC, since he brought it up, so the Flash has to find a director again.
Thank you. That was the other one I wanted. That's what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell? That seemed like that was deep into development too.
Mm-hmm.
A cast, a director. I mean, the director actually having a say so in casting.
They started casting people based off that. Yeah. And now it's like, yeah, that's one of those where, okay, the first time you see it, it's like, okay, you know, maybe he doesn't have enough experience. The experience the guy has sucks, so leave it be. But when it's somebody like, you know, when you pick him and everyone likes him, and it's the whole one guy has a vision and we don't like it, so you split. It's like after two people leave, then it's kind of like, especially like this deep in, then you got to kind of take a step back and see, is it them? Is it the people you're picking, or is it you? Because I look at like how this is like Black Panther. They went to Ava DuVernay first, and she was like, you know, she wanted to do it her way. And they didn't want to do it, and that's fine. And people like, well, Ava DuVernay's kind of strong-willed at what she does, and she can be picky. Like, she's already a name, so she can, like, you know, take it or leave it. Mm-hmm. But they get Ryan Coogler, who's, like, known and respected and who has made movies that are hits, so they keep it moving. And the same thing happened with Wonder Woman, where they had Michelle McLaren, who did, like, a lot of the great Game of Thrones episodes, and it was like, she wants to do it one way, we don't, so they split, but they find somebody else, Patsy Jenkins, and they keep it moving. This one, you get somebody, you don't like it, so you get somebody else, and then that doesn't work out after you start casting on that, then it's like, you have a problem. Because
mm-hmm.
who wants to go with the whole, because the next person you find has to deal, you know, with casting, they may not have picked or may not like, and then you already start and you playing catch up. Like, you know, production's already started, and now this guy's coming in. And how many times have we seen stuff like this happen? And it's, you know, when you start getting a lot of meddling, and you take this voice in, take that voice in, and it comes become a script written by one or two person to a script written by 15 with four different hands on it. Like, that's usually a disaster.
Yeah, and that's what this seemingly is turning into. And I know they haven't even. I'm guessing it's not even written yet. I don't know. I don't know how this works, because it almost seems like a project that's already written. They hand it to you and go, "We want you to direct this," and then they come in and say, "Well, we need to make changes to it." I'm wondering if that's where the problems came up. But what's funny is I'm reading his statement, and it says, "I pitched a version of the film in line with my voice, humor, and heart. While it's disappointing that we couldn't come together creatively on the project, I remain grateful for the opportunity. I will continue to look for opportunities to tell stories that speak to a fresh, generational, topical," and then this is the word that got me, and then this is where I think the problem comes in, multicultural point of view.
I'm wondering, but like, what's the problem?
See,
when it comes to Flash, already.
I guess it's already fixed by the TV show, to be honest. So it shouldn't be a problem.
With somebody gonna say, Iris is black on the TV show, and they cast her as black in the movie.
Yeah.
So,
The reason that the multicultural thing stood out to me was that's never been a problem on Flash. Like, it's never, maybe when it first started, whatever. But it's not like a point of contention now. So I'm wondering if he wanted to tackle interracial dating issues, something like to make it a more socially poignant. No, I'm guessing. This is all guessing. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if he wanted to make it like a more socially relevant movie. And they balked at it. Or maybe they wanted to, and the way they were doing it, he didn't want to do it that way. I don't know. But there's a reason multicultural's in there.
Yeah, because that's something he wanted to do. But it's funny where words like that are, and you've heard me talk about this so many times. It's sad that words like multicultural and diverse become boogeyman words when it comes to comic books, because comic nerds seem to hate everything that doesn't look like them. But people like him. Like, they like the movies he's done. So, and it's, I don't know. Like, on one hand, Geoff Johns has more control, and maybe he wants to have more, he wants to have things like Feige does, where, you can do your own thing as long as it fits. But if it's too much out and about, then no. But on the other hand, you're two directors out. Who's going to want to touch this? Like, anybody that's good is going to keep away with it, because it's kind of like, this ain't mine, and I got to play catch up with other people's stuff, and I don't want to deal with that. And then you get with the whole, we're going to get somebody new, and you see how that go. Like, it's been too many complaints where it's these new people who aren't good or who barely got a chance, and you get like this big tentpole thing. And I was reading this article about Blumhouse Movies and how they do. It's like, the biggest difference between movies now, movies then, is directors aren't getting enough reps in. It's kind of like, back in the day, you might do a movie a year. Like, you can get practicing and get better by keep working. Now, it's like, you might do a movie, and if it's successful, you might do another one for 3 or 4 years. Or it's like one where you do one good movie, and then they give you a big one. Like you saw with Colin Trevorrow and Jurassic World, and you see it a lot of times. Like, if you have strong support, then it works. Like, if you have Steven Spielberg watching over your back, it works. If you don't, you have what happened with Josh Trank, and it don't work. and it's funny, like, he got another chance. He's doing the Al Capone movie with Tom Hardy.
It's funny, we were on the same wavelength. I was going to look up his next job. And
yep.
He's gonna do a movie with Tom Hardy.
Or Tom Hardy.
No, I feel sorry for Josh Trank.
No, I feel...
Tom Hardy is not one of those guys that screws around.
Yeah, but he's going to be wasting his time dealing with that knucklehead. So that's why I said poor Tom Hardy. But back to the whole thing. It's kind of like... It's just this... I don't know. Like, I want to give him the benefit of doubt. I'm not one of these guys that's like, I don't call DC the murderverse or trash everything they do, but it's just too many instances where they seem like they run it, like they don't have a. It's like some people have a plan, and it's like Ben Affleck and Geoff Johns know what they're doing, and everybody else is kind of like winging it, and it just looks bad. Like, it looks real bad. Like, the Flash already has an uphill battle to begin with, because people complain about the costume. I'm ambivalent. How the bigger issue is, you have a successful, like, for all the complaints people have about Flash on CW, it's still a successful Flash. Like, you have that around, and then meanwhile, you can't get your foot right with the movie. So, just like, what you doing, D? Like, what you doing, DC? Like, the clock is ticking, and you on a timeline. Like, get to it.
I was going to make a bad Flash joke. Like, you can't be the fastest man alive if you're constantly tripping over your own feet.
I mean, it works.
It takes a while to get to that. So,
yeah.
Okay. I don't know who they can go and get to direct this movie. It's going to be another. It has to be another relatively unknown. I mean, no offense to him, but it's not like his name was burning up, you know, people's ear holes.
But he was known and he had success. It's kind of like, oh, I've seen these movies he's done, and they had a voice and they were successful and they made money.
Did you see Dope? I'm curious.
Yeah, cool. I saw.
Can I watch that at work?
I'm
pretty sure there are titties in that movie, right?
Yes, there are titties. No, you cannot. No. Like, damn, I would say for like 75% of the time you could, but it's like a few times where you definitely can't.
Okay.
And that movie is fine till the end. It falls apart. I don't know what happened with the ending, but up until the ending, the movie is enjoyable and fine.
Okay.
But it has its own kind of flavor to it, and it's kind of like, and it's funny where. I don't want to make the joke, but it's like certain shows, if, and especially with black shows, like if you're not black, you kind of miss some stuff. And when I see certain reviews and they want it to be something that is not, and they kind of wrap their head around, like Luke Cage was like that and Atlanta's like that. And I've seen, like, you know, I read reviews like, oh, it was trying to be like Twin Peaks and like, They're trying to make it something that they wanted it to be because they didn't understand the culture. And it's kind of rough to say. It's like, that's because you're corny. Like, that's why you understand, like, you know, we haven't talked about Atlanta here, but I've watched every episode. I'm like, that's a very specific show. Like, isn't it, if you don't have to be black, it's like Luke Cage. You don't have to be black to enjoy it, but it helps that you, if you know black people and black culture, because there's a lot of stuff that's very specific to black people, black culture. Kind of like maybe Girls is specific to white women culture or white women yuppie culture, where if you're not part of that, stuff's going to go over your head. You're wondering what's going on. If you aren't in a certain demographic, you may miss it. And people aren't used to that in certain things, so it doesn't translate. And then they try to make it out like it's the show's fault. I was like, no, the show is what it is. It's the same reason why I never really watched It's Sunny in Philadelphia. That show's not for me, but I never criticized the show. I'm like, you know, that show is specific for a certain type of thing, and you either like it or you don't. And if you don't, you keep it moving. Like any other show, like every show doesn't have to be like a CBS show, and every movie doesn't have to be like Star, and every movie doesn't have to be like Star Wars. That whole we got to hit four quadrants.
Yeah, I don't know. We talked about Atlanta briefly. I don't know. Donald Glover kind of bothers me.
Oh, he bothered me. I will admit, like, I couldn't stand Donald Glover, and I think me not liking him makes me enjoy the show more because he is a very despicable character on that show.
Oh, really?
Oh, okay. Yes, like he's that quintessential, like, you know, loser that's mooching off people, over intelligent, under successful type guy. But you're not used to seeing that from like a black character. Like, he's very easy to not like. You can have a certain level of sympathy for him on that show, but he does enough stuff where you are allowed to not like him. Like, he's a piece of trash in
all
a right, lot of
things. FX has all their stuff on demand, so mm-hmm. I can always catch up, because I know the season finale was yesterday, right? Or is that tonight?
Oh, it was yesterday.
All right, I actually don't know what day it comes on. So, it's funny, I'm looking at I was looking at the write-up for Dope. I just wanted to make sure the movie looks pretty much what it looked like from the commercials, so that's not bad. But speaking of trailers, did we talk about this when the first one came out?
No.
We didn't. We totally skipped over XXX altogether.
Yeah, because it was kind of like we knew of it, but I will admit, I never saw the first one from beginning to end. Like, I've heard of it. It's one of those movies like everyone talks about. It's like, I used to swore like I've watched it. But I think I've watched maybe 15 minutes of it because this is so ridiculous. I wasn't in the mindset to watch a ridiculous movie back then. And then I saw the Ice Cube one, which is a bad movie, but it's fun. Like, I've watched that one like maybe eight or nine times. I have no idea why, because it's not a good movie.
Yeah.
So, but I've still watched. I guess it's kind of like if you leave it on the background, it's fine. like Ice Cube action. Like Ice Cube's a good actor, but Ice Cube Action Star is one I've never like. It's never so like nah.
I mean, you didn't like him in Anaconda?
But they don't know action movie. Like I actually liked him in Anaconda because he was playing like this whole. Why the hell am I a black man at Amazon doing with these goofy white people and this snake? Like he was one of the people that had common sense, and that's probably one of the ultimate entertaining bad movies is Anaconda. Like I can't count how many times I watched that, but that's a story for another day. So yes, I saw the trailer for Triple X, and I saw the first teaser when they first showed it, but we didn't talk about it. And I saw this trailer, and I'm watching. I'm like, you know what? I think they reached the point where, like, we know exactly how it looks. And we're just going, like, the first one's kind of like, we want to be cool and edgy and everything like that, and we won't be cutting edge. This one's like, we know what this is. You know what this is. We're just going to have fun with it. Like, you've seen, like, almost like Fast and Furious, where they play it straight, but you know it's kind of goofy. And I think it helps that Fast and Furious has reached that point, so you can embrace this more. I want to know, who was the casting director on this movie?
Okay, so real quick before we get into that, I looked up the first Triple X movie. You know what year that came out?
Like 2000?
2002.
Yeah.
It has been 14 years since the first one. I'm trying to find when the last one with Ice Cube came out was... where is it? Where the hell did it go?
I want to get about
2005.
Yeah, yeah, I was going to guess 5 or 6.
So 12 years in between movies. And honestly, a sequel to a movie no one really asked for. Vin Diesel just said, well, the hell with it. Fast and Furious money is going to dry up sooner or later. Time to get me another franchise. Vin Diesel, on this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say Vin Diesel has the ability of making wishes come true. And I thought I couldn't be any more surprised by Vin Diesel when he had Judi Dench and Thandie Newton in that goofy-ass Sick and Riddick movie. But the casting on this one, first, I didn't even notice. I'm like, okay, you got Donnie Yen as your villain. Or I don't know if he's a villain or they end up teaming up as speaking English. And it's kind of like this. He's finally working in America. He showed up at Triple X movie, and he took Jet Li's spot because Jet Li dropped out.
Yeah.
Then you have Tony Jaa. So you have two of the preeminent Asian martial arts superstars in the same movie. You have Toni Collette, Miss Indy Queen, showing up. I was watching the trailer. I'm like, that woman looks familiar.
Isn't she always going to be the mom from Sixth Sense?
Or the United States of Tara, whatever. I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like, she looks familiar, and I couldn't picture that. I saw IMDb. I'm like, okay, you got that. Of course, Samuel L. Jackson. And then I'm like, okay, you got Ruby Rose, who's, it's kind of like she did her stuff when Orange and New Black, and then all of a sudden she's going to have like three movies come out in a month. It's almost going to be like people going to get sick of her because they're going to see her and it's like stuff that people watch. Then you have Michael Bisping because Conor McGregor dropped out. Then you had Tony Gonzalez, and I'm like, wait. you said that to me. I'm like, which Tony Gonzalez? Like,
yeah,
I'm not
the football player.
The football player Tony Gonzalez. I'm like, how? And we haven't talked about the women they got in the movie.
IMDb pulled up. You forgot the Hound from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I was about to bring him up. I'm okay. Like, okay. What hilarious thing is kind of, oh, and Brazilian soccer superstar Neymar.
Yeah.
just because. And oops. Of course, Nina Dobrev, like, who's that? I'm like, if you watch CW shows and you watch The Vampire Diaries, it's like, that was the girl that was on The Vampire Diaries for like a zillion years, like the main girl on there. And a Bollywood star that was supposed to be in Fast 7 but had scheduling issues, so I guess he kept her number in his Rolodex.
I was going to try the name, but I'm trying to find a phonetic spelling. Nothing's really helping me here. So.
Yeah. So, and we haven't even talked about the. And we had talking about, like, he's skateboarding off. Was it a bus?
All right. Look. If him skateboarding off the side of a bus is the one you remember, and not him riding a motorcycle on skis over waves.
Oh no! What about when he's jumping out of a plane that's exploding and it's like in slow mo third view? He's flying. He's flying out of an exploding plane like he's about to take a nap.
Well, remember and the first trailer? He was skiing down the side of a mountain with no snow through a forest. I mean, right there, I'm like, yeah, cool. When is this movie coming out? Just it's. I don't like memes, but take my money. That's fine with me.
Yeah, and I've never seen Russian roulette with a hand grenade. I'm just watching this, and I'm like, I'm watching this movie with Donnie, and I got to say something. I know how America, like, movie theaters, like, the whole Asian, like, stars has been, like, an issue in movies, and people are, and Hollywood's excuse is, well, we can't find anybody. And I'm like, you've had Donnie Yen for, he's in his 50s. He's basically a better Jet Li because he's a handsome guy. He does his own skills. He actually would have been a UFC fighter if he didn't have a shoulder injury. That's how much he loves fighting. Like, he can actually do it. He's a big-time star in Hong Kong. And he's lived in America, so he speaks perfect English. So you've had no excuse. So to see him that's going to pop up in this movie and in Star Wars, it's like, why did it take this long?
Yeah. Now, here's... This is the one I wanted to say for the show specifically. When Vin Diesel, all right, Tony Gonzalez, they're in the how they edited the trailer. Tony Gonzalez gets in his face and says, and he's like, "Who are these guys?" He goes, "This is your team." And he's like, "Yeah, you got a problem, blah 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 blah." He pulls a button and sucks all of them out of the plane.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, that's kind of funny. So then, I mean, it's okay. I think you have to throw out any sort of an idea of a concept of realism for this movie. I mean, you just have to go with whatever. If at any point you find yourself going, well, that wouldn't happen, that you just leave the theater. I mean,
yeah,
there's
like,
no point. Well, typical Vin Diesel, he says, I need people that are going to fight, you know, fight and do this, and I'm one of the craziest guys, this and this. Well, then he goes... I want someone that's going to fight like me. And then they show Donnie Yen obliterating people. And I mean, mm-hmm. arms, legs, jumps, everything going in super speed. And then you got Vin Diesel kind of like punches the guy and takes his gun. So.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, so you have these military black ops people. Yeah. It's kind of like they're not good enough. So I want to get a DJ... A 90-pound woman in the hound.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, I got interrupted there. I was saying bye to the wife. But no, what cracked me up, though, was typical Vin Diesel. Like, he sees Donnie Yen doing this stuff on set, and he's like, I can do the same thing. And that was, like, his equivalent of doing the same. That was his equivalent, just taking a gun from a guy in, like, medium speed. I was like, one of these things is not like the other here, pal. So,
I figured we got used to that when I've, like, Vin Diesel tried to convince me that he could go toe to toe with The Rock and Jason Statham with a straight face. I'm like, okay. Like, I know you have supreme confidence in yourself and you goofy enough where it's not obnoxious like Steven Seagal, but no. Like, yeah. No, you know what it is? He's nice. That's what the difference is. Like, he has, like, he's probably one of those, I don't know if arrogance is a word, like, he has utmost confidence in his abilities. Like, he wants to be the man. But the fact that, like, we were talking about, he has three different movie franchises.
Yeah.
That's a thing that's all going at the same time. In addition to, like, you know, moonlighting as one of the most lovable Marvel characters in the Marvel movies. It's like, I'm not going to tell him no. Like, if he's able to make this work, it's like, if he's able to make this work and people go see the movies, is he wrong? It's kind of like, if he's doing it and it's working, then why wouldn't he have confidence in himself? It's like, it's almost, I compare him and The Rock where they both have that, but The Rock seems a lot more polished. Like, Rock just seemed like, you know, so cool, nice. And Vin Diesel, like, ride that borderline, like, he's, you would think he's an obnoxious asshole, but he's so enthusiastic about stuff and he realizes how much, like, how much of a big-ass nerd he is saves him. Like, he's self-aware of how he presents himself. and that's what saves him.
Yeah, I was looking up his IMDb for potential movies coming out or upcoming. Fast 8, that's the next Fast and Furious, right?
Yes.
Okay.
We're on the 8th one.
Okay.
Just think about just think about that for a second.
Furia, or that's the next Riddick movie.
Mm-hmm. That'd be the fourth one.
Yeah, Guardian is that? Oh yeah, that is the fourth one. Guardians of the Galaxy 2, that's next year. Infinity War, which I didn't think that they confirmed Guardians of the Galaxy would be in it, but it's on his IMDb, so. And then Fast and Furious 9 and 10. Jesus. So, yeah, I mean, good. I mean, he's making that money, keeping himself relevant, which is nice.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it's funny. He's probably got to have between, just from the Fast and Furious movies, because just off producer money, he got to be in the high 8s to low 9 as far as how much money he probably got in the damn bank. So he doesn't have to work anymore, basically. Like, he's almost like Keanu Reeves, where you wake up one day, you realize, like, Keanu Reeves, oh yeah, he's worth like $300 to $400 billion, and then you remember how much money Matrix and Speed made. So that's why he can just relax and do what he wants. So it's funny. This was a movie I wasn't really thinking about seeing, and now I have to see this movie.
Okay, so is that the plan for this movie, or maybe this franchise? Let's just go as crazy as possible to get people to come, because I think the last thing he wants is to have it compared to Fast and the Furious, because those movies have gotten pretty absurd too.
But so it's kind of like,
I know it's two different franchises, two different themes, really, but you can't, yeah, you know, you got to keep them different. So. Like, well,
I mean, this is kind of like, if you want to see Vin Diesel by himself doing even more weird, like, it's funny, they're both weird movies, but like, if you want to see Vin Diesel by himself doing even more weird stuff, like, you're tired of him driving around a car, so you want to see him snowboard on a tree with no snow.
That's so dumb.
I mean, it is dumb.
No, but what did I tell you? This looks like, so stupid, but I'm totally in. So,
I mean, Crank worked because it was ridiculous like that, and Jason Statham, one of his next movies is going to be, he's fighting a shark. So.
What the hell movie is that?
Oh, I think it's like Meg. It's something like that. It's based off a book or something. Like, he's fighting like a shark, is the story behind it. So.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah,
that's right.
Hey, if it worked for Blake Lively, I think it would definitely work for Jason Statham. So. I mean, it's the whole thing. It's kind of like, you're at the point, I think you're at the point now where the audience plays along.
Hey, guess who's in Meg? Ruby Rose.
Yes. It's, I swear, she just pops up in everything.
Make that money.
Uh-huh. I'm looking at that, yeah. Looking at that cast.
But going with, like, I'm actually on board with this Meg movie. So, the movie industry is not making as much money as they should be, the way ticket prices are. You know, wasn't this summer like a bad summer again? Something like that?
I know, relatively speaking, it's kind of like big movies aren't coming out. It's funny where... Well, I mean, go ahead and continue, because I got a retort about that, but okay. Go ahead.
So, my idea and what I'm... I do think XXX looks stupid. But it looks so over the top, and it looks interesting, though. Like, it captures your imagination to where you just shut off reality, and you just go with it. Even the Fast and the Furious movie, people are bitching about those now, saying, well, you know, this isn't what they used to... Well, no, it's not what it used to be. Don't worry about it. With the movie industry, and I'll use supposedly, allegedly... historically not being as strong, because people will wait 2 months and watch it on Netflix, Redbox, Netflix, you know, whatever. So where is this the way Hollywood's going to go with, you know, especially, I know it's a summer movie as well, but with movies in general, just going affordably as big as possible to basically capture your imagination again. Because I think audiences are pretty jaded. because it's almost to the point where you've seen it all. You know, even in horror movies, the way violence has been ramped up, you've seen everything. Shit, we saw everything with Walking Dead, forget that for that matter. But it almost seems like this is the way it's going to go now. It's just bigger and bigger and bigger and more ridiculous, to where I don't know if story matters as much.
Okay.
Like, story matters, but it doesn't have to be as intricate.
Yeah, here's my retort. One, by this time January, I bet movies this year would have made more money than last year. Like, people talking about, oh, movie industries. I'm like, yeah, because three of the biggest movies of all time came out within the same year. Like, Fast 7, Star Wars, and Jurassic World came out last year. Like, that's like saying, that's like comparing, like, you know, NBA draft to the one where Hakeem Olajuwon, Jordan, and Barkley were in the same draft. Oh, that one wasn't as good? No, no shit. I mean, it's just, it's not going to be as, like, last year wasn't a normal year. And Disney talk about how they're doing, like, that's their best year out, and they still have, you know, Doctor Strange and it was some big movie that's coming out. I know we're forgetting about, and I meant to talk on this show, and I can't think about it now. I think part of it's the one is not America-centric anymore.
Yeah,
we're talking stuff about like, that, yeah. And that too, it's just like, it's movies that are out. It's just people don't pay attention. Like, a movie like The Accountant now, and something like, you know, like John Wick, or like The Town, or like Gone Girls, or stuff like that. Like, it used to be, back in the day, they were like the predominant movies, where, like, we've talked about, like, you know, the Michael Douglas, you know, movies, or the Harrison Ford movies, or that movie, like, the adult grown-up movie, like, it's R-rated, it'll have, like, a $70 million budget, it makes $100, $150 million. Like, you know, the John Travolta special, or the Nick Cage special. And if you had an action movie, it was an action movie like Face Off, or like The Rock. Like, it wasn't a franchise, it was just a big action movie, or like the Die Hard movie. And now everything is either super big or super small. You got the animated movies that's, you know, either super big or super small. You got everybody want to do movie franchises. And even if it's not like, it's not just comic books, because you know, you got the Transformers, you got the Fast and Furious, you even got small ones like the Underworlds and the Resident Evils and stuff like that, where everything is like related to something. And people get mad about, like, it's always been sequels. So it's just people just know some more because all the big movies are sequels. Like, no one complained about sequels when it was Beverly Hills Cop 2 or Lethal Weapon 2 or another Die Hard or Terminator, because it's kind of like, you know, you had maybe three or four series of sequels, and it might stop after like the second or third one. Like, Eddie Murphy had like, what, how many movie franchises that had sequels? Or, you know,
yeah, 48
Hills
Hours
Cop had three. Beverly Hills Cop had three, 48 Hours had two. Like, it was plenty of actors that had movies that had sequels, and it wasn't a big deal. I think the biggest thing is people complain. It's the biggest thing is that people say, oh, it's no original. Like, it was never originality in movies. People just, you just complain about more because you have social media, and everything is kind of like, I need to see it now, now, now. And if it's not the most all-time biggest thing ever, I'm bored with it, and yada, yada, yada. Like, this movie, like Meg, it's a shark movie. Why does it have a budget of $150 million?
Well, it's a megalodon shark. That's why.
I mean, I'm going to see the movie, but it's kind of like, you can see this movie, and it's coming out in March, and it's like, you can easily see this movie bombing. Just because, like, if this is a movie where the budget was, like, even like the Blake Lively movie, that movie worked because they didn't spend a lot of money on it, and it made, you know, 80 to 90 million dollars. 150 million, like, it's something to be said about cost. When you spend that amount of money, then you have certain expectations, and if you don't reach those expectations, it's a failure. The same reason why Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, like, that sequel should have made a lot more than it did, but because it didn't, they're not going to make a third one. The Ghostbusters movie would have been fine if they didn't spend all that. If it was like a $50 to $60 million movie, there's no problem. But if you have the same budget as a Marvel movie, it's like, what are you doing? It's like, that's the big thing. It's like, people don't know how to spend. They don't necessarily know how to translate money to the screen. and it's like, and it's more jarring where you have these horror movies where they cost $4 to $5 million and they make 50 to 60. You got Tyler Perry, or you got Tyler Perry outgrossing Tom Cruise and Tom Hanks in consecutive weeks, spending probably a fourth of the budget.
Okay, so it's funny. Last few weeks we've been on the same wavelength. So you saw the commercials for that Ouija, whatever you want to call it, Origin of Evil. You know how much that cost? $9 million.
Yeah.
It has made $26 million. Let's see, Boo, a Medea Halloween. $20 million. It's made $55 million so far. And Elise is like, who goes to see those Medea movies? I'm like, I don't know. But apparently a lot of people do.
Let me tell you something. You know who went to see it? I went to see it when I went in Houston.
Did you really?
Yes, I did. Let me tell you something. I went to one of those fancy, you know, you got to reserve your seats. They bring the food out. Yeah. I went in the afternoon with Darlene. It was a full, like that, it was sold out. It was a full house. And it was a mixture. It was like, it was a demographic. Because normally Tyler Perry movies like 80, 90% black. And this one might have been maybe half. And it was plenty like whites and Latin Asians. Like, I'll be the first one to admit, like, I went to the, I knew I was going to see the movie, but I was kind of cringing because it's funny. That movie came out based off a joke Chris Rock made in Top 5, saying, like, you know, because he was doing, like, this fake movie saying he'd compete against Tyler Perry doing a Halloween movie. Just making it a joke. And Tyler Perry's like, you know what? Why not? I'm going to, like, people think, because, like, people expect that, and it's kind of like, you know, taking a joke that people will make out of derision and making money off of. He's like, you know what? Y'all think it's that damn funny? I'm gonna show y'all something. I'm watching me make money off of this, and I'm watching the movie. And I will not look. I have 2 degrees. I consider myself a culture individual. That's my disclaimer. I was laughing my ass off at this nonsense, silly ass, broad ass humor. Like I was, and the whole theater was just laughing because it's kind of like it's the same thing Adam saying. Like if you know your audience and you give your audience exactly what you want, you will be fine. And that's what Tyler Perry is. And it's kind of like, you take it that way and you keep it moving. And to be perfectly honest, it was a long time frame where black people were not working if it wasn't for Tyler Perry. Like, Idris Elba got his first movie thing because Tyler Perry. Taraji Henson and a whole lot of black actors and actresses that people are loving now were getting roles from Tyler Perry movies when they were not working for anybody else. So he feeds his audience.
Yeah, I'm looking up Medea on IMDb. I just want to see. There's been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's got to be more Medea movies than 6.
Well, he's done more movies, but not necessarily not movies with that character.
Well, all right, you know what? Yeah. She's been. Those are the movies that he's been, that. She's been the. It's kind of weird how to talk about it, but it's that she's been the character, the title character of. But yeah, no, it's like that wasn't even like an insult to anybody. Like you're the only person I know that I can remember that has actually seen a Medea movie. And I'm just trying to think. So that's why when she asked, like, who goes to see him, I don't know, and. The same question for me goes to like a movie like Ouija or Ouija, whatever. Like I know people always say, and I've heard this plenty of times. Why do they make these movies? Because they just made $17 million off that movie. That's why. Take out $5 million. There's $10 million that studio just made off of some hunk of garbage.
And not only that, you never know. Like they made those movies because they were getting those directors. Like people forget. Where do you think James Wan came from? Mm-hmm. Where he get his reps from? Like a lot of like that movie with Joe Egerton, The Gift. That was an awesome movie. That was Blumhouse. Whiplash. It's easy to have a movie like that. Like you can have your Oscar bait when you know you can throw a Purge movie out and spend $5 million to make $70 to $80 million. Like people see those. Like I've seen most of those. I didn't see this Ouija movie, but. I've seen a lot of those like micro budget movies because one, they tend to be enjoyable. Two, it's kind of like we let you do whatever you want, as if you can just hit the numbers. Like, you got $5 million. If you can make it work in $5 million, you can do whatever you want. Like, get your work in. It's kind of like he's – you need more stuff like that where people don't, like, make them work to that point. Like, you know, prove – it's too many people that making movies that shouldn't be making movies. And they haven't shown any reason to be given a $100, $200 million budget. Because if you get that money, you compete with the big dogs. And if – if you ain't, you can't hang with Marvel, you can't hang with DC, you can't hang with Michael Bay or the Fast and Furious movies, you're going to look bad. Like, that's a problem.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out what Deepwater Horizon was. No, that's a Mark Wahlberg movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with Peter Berg. Like, I'm like, whatever.
Yes, whatever.
It was too much. I mean, it's not that I didn't want to see it, but it's too much of that. I've seen enough of his white American hero movies. Like, I saw Lone Survivor, and seeing them roll. Yeah, I've seen enough of Mark Wahlberg roll down a mountain three different times in a row and not die. And that actually happened. And I'm watching this and I'm like, okay. If I saw this in a Fast and Furious movie, I'd be like, okay, enough is enough. And this will be based off a true story. Because I know it's based off a true story, it's a serious topic. But it was plenty of time that movie. I'm just rolling my eyes. Like, are you serious? Like,
are you talking about Lone Survivor?
Yes.
No. You weren't the only one. So, yeah.
They are literally rolling down a mountain.
Not even a mountain, because a mountain you would have trees and whatever else. The guy's just falling down straight rocks.
Like, and more than once.
Yes, and I'm thinking, that's not going to go well. I mean. And then they just kind of got up. I was like, yeah, they showed the one guy had like a broken leg or something. I'm like, I thought that would have happened, like way worse would have happened. But yeah, whatever. So yeah. And I'm with you on that one. So, and I was, all right, this is how dumb I was being though. I was mad because I was watching something at a gym. Because I remember seeing that movie when I was in Iowa. And we had nothing to do. Because I don't know why anyone lives there. And they had the guy on from Lone Survivor, and they said, well, you were the only one that survived. And I was like, well, thanks for ruining the movie. Because I honestly thought, like, Lone Survivor, that he got left behind or something. But then as soon as, like, they started talking about, like, the group he was in, I was like, wait a second. There was a whole gang of you? And I was like, oh, so annoyed. But then one friend, Tremika, pointed out, she goes, well, the movie is called Lone Survivor. And I'm like, yeah, but I still thought it was like a group or something. Like, that's bullshit.
You didn't realize it was actually literal. Like, you thought maybe they left him and then he's the only one there and they could come back and get him. Not
or he had to fight his way out, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, no, but I also didn't know it was based on a true story either. So, but yeah, that place was packed out when we went and saw it, though, that's for sure.
It was too, and keep in mind, I live in Texas in a military town, so you can kind of guess how they love their guns, trucks, and flag movies, with reverence. And so, yeah. That's fine. Like, I don't have beef with Peter Berg, but I'm kind of like, I've seen Mark Wahlberg do that once. I don't need to see any more of that. Like, enough is enough. So that's why I see Deepwater Horizon. I don't need to see a guy overcoming impossible odds and be a true American, and it's because of big business or big government's fault. Like, yeah, I get the point.
Yeah.
Yes. I know. I realize that Exxon and the United States Senate are the devil. Blah blah blah. You don't need to keep banging in my head. Like, let me know if you make a sequel to The Rundown if The Rock finds time in his schedule.
Wasn't there supposedly one on tap though?
He said he would love to do it, but The Rock's too damn busy right now. So that's the holdup. And I mean, it's The Rock. Like, when is he's going from. I don't know how he doesn't die or how much cocaine he has to take, because he just goes from movie to movie. Like he went straight from Baywatch to doing Fast 8. Then he went straight from Fast 8 to do Jumanji. And then he's going to finish Jumanji and go to whatever he got next. Like, it's so much stuff he got coming out next. Like, I don't know if it's San Andreas 2, Doc Savage, or Yeah, something. So the same reason why, like, we haven't seen another G.I. Joe movie is kind of like, well, we can't do one without The Rock. The Rock too busy.
There was a funny line I saw about something that came out, like a still or picture from Jumanji, and it was The Rock has a flamethrower, and in the new Jumanji, The Rock has a flamethrower because, of course, he does.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of cracked me up because that seems like a quintessential Rock choice. Like, you know what? I could do this, but if you just gave me a flamethrower, we could do this even better. Like,
hey. Yeah, I saw it on Instagram. It looked awesome. It was a hand, one-handed flamethrower. He says, "Oh, they got this new flamethrower because I thought it'd be badass." Yeah, singe hair off my arm like a chump, and he's out there like that. I'm like, he's just living the life. Like, he gets to do it. Like, if I love my life, but if I was to be somebody else, I'd be The Rock. Like, and I'd be the first one. Like, if I were to be any person, which person I'd be? I'd be The Rock. Like, he's just—it's
kind of hard to argue.
I mean, he's just like, he's he's just him. Like, it's hard to prove. Like, you know, he's The Rock. The Rock is. I don't know people who don't like The Rock at this point. Like,
I'm honestly racking my brain trying to figure out somebody else that, like, I almost would have said Tom Cruise.
Used to be,
but nah, not anymore. Yeah,
used to be like I would say maybe like the only people like used to be there too, like Will Smith, baby back in the 90s or like early 2000s was super love. It's funny, Will Smith was loved like this till he had kids.
Yeah,
it's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, and Tom Cruise was the man like this till he got on that damn couch with Oprah and lost, and then all that stuff happened. So, and people still don't forget about that. But other than that, and like Tom Hanks and Denzel kind of aged out. I was like, they're more like the cool uncle and granddad. You like people make a joke like how many old people Tom Hanks is gonna, how many old captains and old people Tom Hanks is gonna play. But it's like Tom Hanks is just that cool. He's at the point now. He's that cool uncle that, you know, he probably still goes to the library and can tell you everything about history and sip some tea and with a beer. And Denzel's that cool granddad that could probably steal your mom while playing spades. So
the only other person I could think of, and this one would depend on how you want to live your life, and that would be Bill Murray.
Yeah,
because that guy literally lives by his own rules. I mean, outside of like legal means.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard stories about him? Like, how he handles his movie choices now? Like, somebody, what was it? St. Vincent, I think, came out? Yeah, I think that was the name of it. The director was like, hey, I want you to be in this movie. Here's the script. We started shooting. And he goes, all right. He goes, okay. He's like, well, do you? I was like, no. He's like, I got the date. That's cool. I'll be there. They didn't hear from him for like 6 months, something like that, 3 months, 6 months. So when they got to the shoot, he just showed up. They had no idea if he was actually going to do the movie or not. And he showed up, he knew the script, did everything, and that was it. And I'm thinking, what a badass way of living. And that's how respected he is, first off. But then he also goes and just does whatever he wants. Because, I mean, he's got that capital in his career, which makes it easy. And so if you want to do things that way, that's a pretty good way of doing it. But I'm thinking, I'm confused. All right, I'm sorry. I know I've been stuttering. Isn't the baseball game in Cleveland today?
I was in Chicago. I wasn't sure. I was wondering about that.
I thought it was in Cleveland. No, it's in Cleveland. These morons are lining up outside Wrigley for a away game?
Yeah, they're going to watch it on TV. They want to watch it together. Come, they haven't won in, what, 100 years?
Okay. All right, so here's the thing. Then we'll wrap up on this one.
Uh-huh.
A little bit of hate. So I someone was asking me who you want to win the World Series. And then, frankly, once the Tigers were eliminated, I didn't care. So then it became Cleveland and the Cubs. I was like, oh boy, this is a rough one. I don't want Cleveland to win because they're in the same division as the Tigers. I don't want the Cubs to win. Just look up Mike Leach, the Washington State coach, talking about Cubs fans, and he pretty much nails it. So, my dream or fantasy would be it's bottom of the ninth, Cubs, or top of the ninth, I guess, in this case. Cubs are trying to win, or bottom of the ninth, you know, Cubs are in the save position, and all of a sudden a catastrophic earthquake happens, and they have to cancel the World Series this year.
He's such a bitter man.
That would be so fantastic. But now I'm looking at this going, you know, the Indians, I want them to win on a bottom of the ninth, 3-2, two outs, bases loaded, grand slam, and they win by one. That would warm my heart, and even with my bum knee, I would roll all over the ground laughing if that happened.
Why are you such an evil man?
Because it would be hilarious.
No, you know what I was thinking about this though? What, I don't believe in, say, karma and all that stuff, but wouldn't it be karma if Cleveland beat Golden State after being down 3-1, proceeded to brag about it and rub it in Golden State's face
for the entire
summer, only for the damn baseball team to lose after being up 3-1? Like,
yep. How many people thought of that today, too. Yeah.
I'm just thinking, like, you know, like, people might actually hate LeBron James and he didn't do anything wrong just because they did that and they're having fun. And I have to say, I don't mind pettiness and I don't mind Cleveland doing what they did it. But this whole Golden State blew a 3-1 thing, that's everything that I hate about sports. Because it's kind of like, you know, Golden State's this choke artist team. I'm like, no, Golden State won a title already. They set the record for most wins. They were this close to win another title, and they lost because LeBron James turned into Superman. Like, it's no shame. Like, Cleveland beat them. It wasn't this whole they choked. Like, right? Like, it's no shame in losing to LeBron James. LeBron James turned into, like, a Super Saiyan and beat them. And then the whole thing is kind of like, it's this whole thing in sports, and I post about it, it's not like who won. Because whoever wins the game, it's not going to be about the team that won. It's going to be a team choke.
Yeah.
If Chicago wins, somebody's going to say they broke the 100-year curse. But everyone's going to say, don't forget the Cleveland Indians blew a 3-1 lead in the World Series. I guess Cleveland's back to being a loser town. They're going to hear about that. If Chicago loses, then it's going to be, oh, guess that Billy Goat's still alive. Chicago chokes again. It's never about who won. It's about who lost. And that's kind of like somebody – it's like two people are playing. Like, this isn't, you know, solitaire. Or you're not playing a video game where you're playing a video game that's just you by yourself, or golf, or something like that. Like, it's a team sport, and you're playing against somebody else. And that's my old man, get on my long rant, but it's just this, I like to say it's kind of like, social media seems like it's a society of, like, hating ass mediocre losers.
Yeah, yeah. I've recently just started pegging it on, it's just envious people. And not to sound like alpha, but it's just, I don't want to say the word losers, but I can't come up with something, but it's almost petty losers that will never be able to achieve the success that some of these guys have achieved. So the only way to make themselves feel better is to tear them down. And that's why yesterday, I'll give you a chance in a second. That's why, like, on the show yesterday I did with Chris, when I called that James Ellsworth guy, like a gas station attendant. And I, like I said, I felt bad because I was like, "Oh, wait a minute! You're like, this dude didn't do anything wrong. You know, he's achieving his dream." So I was like, kind of backpedaling on, I'm backpedaling on that. So it's just like, you know, that guy's way more successful in wrestling than we've ever been doing this wrestling website, and he's in worse shape than I am. So it's just like, oh my god. But I mean, I guess as I gotten older, I'm like, nah, I feel good for that guy. I hope he enjoys all the success that he's gotten. So, but no, yeah. And that's what I think it comes down to is, and that's why you don't mention the winners because, well, how are you going to measure up against the winners? You're not going to. So you can just make fun of the guys that are losers.
Yeah, I had a conversation with Cam about this, and I was saying, like, you know, how come no one talks about the winners? Like, they won. That's enough. Like, not if no one mentions or remembers. It's like, it's funny where before it was like you celebrate victory and now people celebrate defeat. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when the Bulls won, like, you know, when the Bulls won, is they won, not Seattle choked or the other team choked or something like that. It's like, you know, Michael Jordan won because he was better. And now it's this whole, and like you said, like, it's no way to talk about without sounding like either extremely arrogant or harsh, but the hell, it's like, it's too many people that sound like petty ass losers doing mediocre stuff. And I'm like, if you judge these people, like, the way, if you judge yourself the way you judge your people, you shoot yourself.
Yeah.
Because, like, people make fun of, like, you know, oh, the shooting guard, he's trash because he shot 2 for 19. I'm like, even the worst shooting guard in the NBA is still better than, like, 95% of the people doing his job. Like, oh, how many people can, yeah, how many people can say they're, like, you know, like, I'm a decent pharmacist. I won, you know, pharmacist of the year, blah, blah, blah. I don't think I'm one of the top 10 or top 15%, you know, in my profession. But I know I do a job that's a considerably hard job, like, you know. But even then, it's like, how many people can say, you know, I can say with a straight face, I'm better than 95% of people that do my job. Most people can't say that. So I'm not going, even if someone has a bad day, a bad game, I'm not going to call them like a loser or anything like that. I'm like, okay, you lost, but that don't make you a loser. I'm like, you just ran at somebody better. And I know it's a way of doing it without. It's a way of criticizing, like, you know, saying the person didn't get the job done without calling them like a choke artist or they trash. And instead, Twitter is all about jokes. They just want to mock somebody so feel good about themselves. They go back doing what they do because. And I'm gonna wrap it up with this. I never get into the whole millennial old thing, but as somebody that's kind of like at that barrier, and it's one thing I notice, and I don't necessarily blame them. I think a lot of people in our generation and younger than us are kind of like, I want to say what, arrested development? Like, they want to have, they're like grown kids, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I think the things that are childlike, or for especially someone my age, the things that are considered childlike, comics, video games, superheroes, magic, Harry Potter, that sort of stuff. You know, Harry Potter was as I was an adult already. All of those things back then were child's things. You read Superman? It's like, what are you, a kid? I mean, even all through high school, I had to deal with that bullshit. Mm-hmm. And now it's just accepted. And now you're allowed to stay. Like, there's no childish things anymore.
It just stings.
Wait, what'd you say? I'm sorry.
You're right. Like, it's no, yeah. Like, the whole thing is like, you know, be adult and put away your childish thing. As now, it's like, those are just things that grow with you. And it's like, even the stuff we do is kind of like podcasts and the Twitter stuff. It's almost, and I don't blame, because it's kind of like the generation before us kind of trashed it for us, because it's kind of like adulthood is scary. I mean, and it's a lot of people that's kind of like, you know, they were sold a bag of goods. This got a lot more philosophical than I thought the show was going to end. But, you know, they got sold a bag of goods thinking about, you know, if you do this, this, and this, this is how your life turns. Like, you know, if you do what you sort of do in school and you go to college, then you'll find a job and you'll be able to get a house and get married and stuff like that. And now it's kind of like you get out of school, you might owe 5 to 6 figures. You probably overqualify for a job you can't even get, and you got to live home. Like, what happened? And it didn't have nothing, necessarily anything you did wrong. It's just kind of like how your dad lived and how he told you you're supposed to do does not exist anymore. So you're waking up. It's like, life is not what I thought it was going to be. And I'm not liking life doing this traditional way. So, yes, I'm going to do kid stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna do this thing because guess what? It's bringing me joy. I'm not hurting anybody. And the way you want me to do it sucks. So I can't really even hate, because it's kind of like I'm fortunate where I'm in a career. I enjoy my job. I'm not like, I don't dread going to work. I like going to work. I happen to make a whole lot of money, so that definitely helps. But it's not like whole thing. It's like, I'm not afraid. Like, life has challenges, of course, but I'm not afraid of life, because it's kind of like, as long as I do what I'm supposed to do and avoid the police, I'll get home fine and be fine, and life will be fine. So, but I know a lot of people can't say that, which kind of, it warps the reality. It's kind of like, you know, well, I'm going to embrace this. If this way, like, if you sold me a bag of goods and that bag is rotten, I'm throwing the bag away. I'm doing what I want. And for us, we look at it like, y'all need to grow up. And for them, it's kind of like, I grew up and ain't what it's supposed to be. And like, no, I'm not going to be miserable like you, or be miserable like my friends. So I'm going to be a grown up kid.
Yeah. And
Peter Pan.
Yeah. And it's like, whenever I tell someone my age, they're always like, what, really? I'm like, yeah, I just don't act, you know, that I'm 42. That's why. So that's always been the same for that kind of thing's always been the same for me. But I think, like, to say, to, God, need to wrap this up. But to go to something you said where it was like, get a job, do this, or I'm sorry, go to school, get an education, what you want to do, go out, get a job in there. For, like, my, I don't know, it was 96. I never graduated because I was a horrible student. But it was, I was always under the impression that it wasn't going to, like, it wasn't as easy as they said it was going to be. Like, I was fortunate enough to go to school in the 90s where if you blinked, someone gave you a credit card with a $10,000 limit on it. And
Lord.
Oh, dude, it was ridiculous. You'd walk through the student center. Hell, you'd walk to class, and the credit card companies would just have, like, a table. And back then, mm-hmm. just a clipboard with, like, something you fill out. They didn't check your credit or anything. They didn't care. There you go. So that was our debt coming out. Like, school was affordable back then. And, you know, obviously, well, where I went to school, but school was more affordable back then. No, I will just say it was affordable compared to what it is now.
Mm-hmm.
But I was always like, all right, even though you went to school, you were still going to have a dogfight to find a job when you got out. So it wasn't going to work out for you the way you intended. Well, now someone just is finally telling these people, oh, no, you're screwed. Once you go to school, just good luck getting a job out of here. And it's like, I don't know what's better. So,
I mean, it's just different where we can't live the way our parents live, where it's like you can be middle class, go to school, afford school, get a house, afford a house on a one-parent, and one parent working, one parent not working. That life does not exist. And it's too many people that are in charge that make rules acting like, you know, why can't you do like I do? I'm like, the same reason why they had horse and carriages back then, and we got cars that almost drive themselves. Now, like, that life don't exist where school costs almost 1,000% more. We don't make 1,000% more money. Like, if stuff costs a lot more and you don't have the money to pay for it, what do you think gonna happen? Like, if it's fewer jobs to get and everybody's competing for the same crappy ass job, and the housing market costs as much as it costs, and you live in these expensive ass places, then what do you expect? Like, I can't really, and I had to catch myself, because I mean, for a time I used to have this, like, why don't these man babies grow the hell up? Like, they go and they sit in Barnes and Nobles with their blog, and like, I almost sound like an old man. Like, why don't you get a damn job? Like, stop. Like, you're 35. Stop being this 35-year-old kid because you're afraid of life and you messed up when you were young. And I will admit, I had that attitude for like a little while. And then I caught myself. It's like, it's easy for me to say it because I made it. But I know how hard it is for a lot of people. And it's, you shouldn't, if they didn't make it, it's not necessarily always their fault. It's not because you didn't have ambition or you didn't have work ethic. Sometimes it's like that. But it's plenty of people, and we can wrap up here. The whole story, like, just because you work hard and be focused and disciplined does not guarantee success. Yeah. And that used to be the credo when you were young. Like, you pull yourself up by your bootstraps and you'd be fine. As now it's like, you can pull yourself by your bootstraps and those straps snap the hell off and your boots fall off. Then what are you supposed to do? And you don't have any crazy glue to glue the straps back on. I can't really get mad at you.
And let's leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Public service announcement.
Yeah, I was like, well, boy, we went all over the place this week. So, anyways, we didn't even mention Ghost Rider and how Nick Cage is now part of Marvel canon. But we can get into that next week. So, yeah, thanks for listening, guys. Feel free and subscribe to Stunt Granny on all your podcast platforms. Yeah, I'm starting to run out of steam, I guess. Also, we're going to, even though the subscription service is fixed, I'm still going to keep using SoundCloud, because I know people listen to it on that. So follow us on Slick Rant, all social media, podcast. I'm out of here. Thanks for listening, guys. Talk at you next week.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shaheev Dulhadi, and grow up, millennials. Life ain't fair. We are out.